Pull up a chair. I want to tell you about a man who wore a mustache the Air Force hated, flew fighters in two wars a generation apart, and once talked a whole squadron of enemy pilots into the worst decision of their lives without firing the first shot. This is Radio Hangar. I'm Taildragger, and this is the Hangar, where we keep the old stories warm. Today we're talking about Robin Olds. Now if you know the name, you're probably already grinning, and if you don't, well, by the end of the next 20 minutes you're going to wish you'd met him. Because they don't make them like Robin Olds anymore. I'm not sure they ever did. Before I get rolling, let me tell you who's keeping the lights on today. This show is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation challenge coins for every milestone in flight. First solo, private pilot, instrument rating, all the way up. If you've earned it, they've got a coin for it. Every coin tells a story, and that's the whole point, isn't it? That's what we do here. Check them out at AviationSoul.com. All right, let's set the scene. Robin Olds was born into it. His father was a general and old Army Air Corps man who flew in the First War and knew all the greats. Little Robin grew up sitting on the knees of pilots who dueled over France in canvas and wire. He met Eddie Rickenbacker as a boy. Airplanes weren't a career choice for him. They were the water he swam in. He went to West Point, played football well enough to make All-American, and got his wings in the middle of the Second World War. And here's where the legend starts stacking up. Robin Olds went to England, climbed into a P-38 Lightning, that big twin-boomed beast, and started shooting down German airplanes. Then they switched him over to the P-51 Mustang, and he kept right on doing it. By the time the war in Europe ended, he was an ace twice over, double ace, 13 airplanes shot out of the sky before he was old enough to be trusted with a set of car keys by today's standards. Now here's where it gets interesting.
Most fellas, you do that. You come home a hero. You ride it the rest of your life. Robin Olds came home, married a movie star, a genuine Hollywood actress named Ella Raines, and then he watched the jet age arrive. He flew the early jets, he commanded squadrons. But somewhere in there, the peacetime Air Force and Robin Olds stopped seeing eye to eye. He was too blunt, too much of a fighter pilot in a world that was starting to love paperwork. They parked him behind desks, they sent him places where a man like that goes to be forgotten, and for a while, it looked like that was the end of the story. A great war record, a slow fade, a good pension. Then came Vietnam. In 1966, they gave him command of a fighter wing, the 8th Tactical Fighter Wing, based at a place called Ubon in Thailand. They flew the F-4 Phantom. Now the Phantom, if you've never stood next to one, is not a pretty airplane. It's a big, smoking, snarling brute of a machine. Two engines, two crew, a pilot up front and a backseater running the radar. Somebody once said it was proof that with enough thrust you can make a brick fly, and Robin Olds loved it. But when he showed up, that wing was in a bad way. Morale was in the dirt. The men were flying dangerous missions up north into the teeth of the defenses around Hanoi, and they didn't have a leader who flew with them. They had Administrator Olds fix that in about a week. Not with speeches, he fixed it by flying. A wing commander, a full colonel, was supposed to fly the safe milk runs if he flew at all. Olds flew the ugly ones. He put himself on the schedule for the missions up into the most dangerous airspace on planet Earth, and he made his own crews fly wing on the new guys, so the rookies had a veteran watching over them. When the men saw the old man taking the same risks they took, something changed. They stopped being a unit on paper and started being a wolf pack. That's what they called themselves, the wolf pack, and that mustache. Let me tell you about the mustache.
Robin Olds grew this enormous waxed handlebar mustache. Curled up at the ends, it was completely gloriously against regulations, and it became a symbol. It said, out here, 1,000 miles from the generals, we do the fighting, and we'll wear what we please while we do it. His men started growing them too. It became the thing. Years later, a general finally ordered him to take it off, and Olds did, but by then that mustache had become a legend all its own. Fighter pilots still grow them every year in his honor. They call it Mustache March. That's a fine kind of immortality, if you ask me. But the mustache isn't why we remember him. Any showman can grow whiskers. We remember him because of what happened on the 2nd of January, 1967. We remember him because of Operation Bolo. So let me lay out the problem, because you've got to understand the problem to understand the genius of the answer. Up around Hanoi, the North Vietnamese were flying a little Russian-built fighter called the MiG-21, small, nimble, fast. And it was giving the Americans fits. Here's why. The rules of engagement in that war were a mess. American fighter bombers, big flights of F-105 Thunder Chiefs, they called them thuds, were sent north, loaded down with bombs to hit targets. Heavy, slow, not built to dogfight when they're hauling all that iron. The MiGs figured out the game. They'd sit on the ground, safe, because the Americans weren't allowed to bomb the airfields. Then when the loaded down thuds came lumbering in, the MiGs would leap up, make one slashing high-speed pass, fire their missiles, and dive away before the Americans could do a thing about it. The bombers would have to jettison their bombs just to survive, which meant the mission failed without a single target getting hit. It was working beautifully for the other side, and the American pilots were getting shot down and getting frustrated, and there wasn't much they could do inside the rules they'd been handed. Robin Olds looked at that and he thought, "All right, if they only come up to hunt the bombers and they won't come up to fight the fighters, then we'll make the fighters look like bombers. That's Operation Bolo. That's the whole trick, and it is a beautiful piece of deception."
Here's how they built it. The F-4 Phantom fighters, Olds's Phantoms, they were going to fly the exact profile of a bombing raid. Same route, the thuds always flew, same altitude, same speed, slowed way down to mimic those heavy-laden bombers. They even used the same radio call signs the bomber crews used. They fitted the Phantoms with the same electronic jamming pods the thuds carried, so that on enemy radar, on the radar scope down in Hanoi, this incoming formation would light up looking exactly like another fat, slow, vulnerable flight of bomb-hauling thuds coming in to be slaughtered, except every single one of those airplanes was a Phantom. Clean, no bombs, loaded to the teeth with air-to-air missiles, flown by men who wanted nothing in this world more than for a MiG to come up and say hello. They planned it for weeks, down to the second, and then the weather, which is always the villain in these stories. The weather turned lousy. Low clouds over the whole target area. Now think about the nerve this took Olds, is orbiting up there, over Hanoi, over the most heavily defended patch of sky in the history of the world up to that point. Surface-to-air missiles, anti-aircraft guns, the works, and nothing's happening. The clouds are keeping the MiGs on the ground, his fuel is ticking down. Every second he stays is a second the surface-to-air missile crews have to get a lock on him. Most men would have called it. Bingo fuel, go home, we'll try another day. Robin Olds stayed, he orbited right over the enemy airfield, and he waited. He gambled that the MiGs, hearing what they thought were bombers overhead, would come punching up through that cloud deck to make their easy kill. And they did. The first MiG popped up through the clouds right in front of him, and I'll tell you, the fight that broke out over Hanoi in the next few minutes was pure chaos, MiGs coming up through the overcast in ones and twos. Phantoms wheeling and turning all over the sky. Olds himself. He missed his first shot, got too eager, fired too early, watched the MiG break away. An old double ace from the last war, and he flubbed the first pass. That's how fast and confusing a real fight is. But then he set up a second one. He used the vertical. He climbed, he pulled, he put his Phantom in a position where a MiG trying to run for the clouds had to cross right in front of his nose, fired his missiles, and down went the MiG. When it was over, the Wolfpack had shot down 7 MiG-21s in about 12 minutes and hadn't lost a single airplane of their own. 7 in 12 minutes. That was something like half of the entire North Vietnamese MiG-21 force, gone in one afternoon. It was the most lopsided air battle of the entire war. The enemy was so shaken they hardly flew for months afterward, and it happened because one man refused to accept that the rules he'd been handed were the end of the conversation. He couldn't bomb their airfields. So he tricked their airplanes into the sky and beat them in a fair fight, which was the one thing they'd been so careful never to give him. That's the kind of thinking that wins wars. Not more airplanes, not more bombs. A better idea. Flown by men who trusted the man leading them. Let me sit with the human side of this for a minute, because that's what I really love about Robin Olds. He ended that war a triple ace. Kills in two different wars, decades apart, in propeller fighters and in jets. That is an incredibly rare thing. You can count the men who did it on not very many fingers. But ask the men who served under him what they remember, and it usually isn't the kills. It's that he cried. When one of his crews didn't come home, this big football player war hero of a man would go off by himself, and the men knew he was grieving every single one of them. He carried them. He flew the worst missions himself specifically so he wouldn't have to order a younger man to do something he wasn't willing to do first. He led from the front because he genuinely could not stomach doing it any other way. He butted heads with the brass his whole career because he cared more about his men and about the truth than he did about his own next promotion. And it probably cost him. A man with that record, in a different personality, might have made 4-star general. Olds made brigadier general and eventually retired, a little bruised by the system, still every inch the fighter pilot. Late in his life, somebody asked him about all of it, the medals, the fame, the mustache, and the thing that came through. It wasn't ego, it was love. He loved to fly, he loved the airplanes, he loved the men, everything else was just noise. He passed in 2007. And you know what his daughters found when they went through his things? They put out a memoir he'd been working on. And reading it, you realize the whole time,
Underneath the swagger was a boy who'd sat on Eddie Rickenbacker's knee and just wanted more than anything to be worthy of the men who flew before him. I think he was more than worthy. So the next time you see some fighter jock in March walking around with a ridiculous handlebar mustache, grinning like he knows a secret, now you know, that's for Robin Olds. That's for the man who wouldn't leave the fight, who wouldn't leave his men, and who tricked 7 MiGs out of the sky over Hanoi with nothing but a good idea and the nerve to see it through. Back when Avgas was cheap and the sky over Hanoi was the most dangerous real estate on Earth, one old double ace decided the rules were just a starting point. Lord, what a pilot. Most of what I told you today comes from Olds' own memoir, the one his daughter Christina helped bring into the world, along with the Air Force's own histories of the air war over Vietnam. Go find that book. It's worth your evening. You can find us at RadioHangar.com if you want to holler at me about any of it. I'm Taildragger. Keep that mustache curled and keep the greasy side down. I'll see you next time.